The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we have made it to the second half of the program. We appreciate you being here and are always looking forward to our next guest. Stuart Mandel, one of the premier and preeminent college football writers, the editor-in-chief of the college football version of The Athletic, and he and one of his colleagues have put out a really interesting piece today about Alabama and how the SEC has become a passing league. Whatever happened to run first in the old 3 yards in a cloud of dust? So, Stu, great to have you on. Good afternoon, and really appreciate your time, and especially to talk about this piece, how Alabama turned the SEC into a passing league. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Yes, it's been really interesting to watch the first 4 weeks of this season play out, and certainly if you watched the game the other night, the Georgia-Alabama game. I mean, we all know how much the entire identity of Alabama football changed the night that Nick Saban put Tua in at halftime of the national title game. Suddenly they're a team that throws the ball all over the place and has a great quarterback and great receivers. But what was interesting to us is how that has that is mirrored in the data across the whole conference now. And basically, just as soon as Alabama started doing it, the rest of the conference started doing it. And this year so far, the SEC is dropping back to pass on 55% of their passes. That is higher than any other Power Five conference, including the Big 12, the conference that we, you know, most associate with offenses that throw the ball a lot.
And yeah, not to get too far ahead here, but because this is about the offenses, but it seems like it's had an impact on the defenses as well.
It certainly has, and that's kind of where this research came from. Because last week, coming off the LSU Missouri game and you know, Ole Miss, obviously, in Alabama, that was the big talking point, was how bad the defenses are. And no question, that is, a lot of those defenses have been exposed. But this is what people in the Big 12 have been saying for a decade. Just watch. You know, any defense is going to have trouble defending really good quarterbacks. And the SEC has a bunch of those right now, whether you're talking about Mac Jones, whether you're talking about Kyle Trask, any number of these guys. And so I think that Steve Spurrier was throwing the ball around back in the 90s. You know, there was that period when Hal Mumme and Mike Leach were at Kentucky, but those were always outliers. Those were always kind of looked down upon, like a gimmicky. I think really when Alabama turned it over to Tua and those receivers, I mean, you know, since Saban's been there, the whole conference has been trying to emulate him. And I think it kind of gave it the seal of approval, and certainly LSU for one, you know, took that and ran with it last year.
Stuart, which brings me to Georgia, and fresh off another beating by Alabama, I'm particularly interested in what you see there right now and in the immediate future.
Yeah, I don't envy Kirby Smart. I think he got to Athens and he tried to recreate the Alabama dynasty, and in many ways he did. I mean, this program, the recruiting classes they signed, the amount of high-round NFL talent they have on defense is exactly the Alabama program that he used to work at. The thing is, as soon as he left, Nick Saban took it in another direction. And he's kind of caught in the middle right now. I mean, he did hire Todd Monken this year to try to open up the offense some more, and he thought he had the quarterback to do that, obviously, in Jamie Newman, a really good dual-threat quarterback, but then he opted out. And what we saw the other night, I think Stetson Bennett actually played pretty well in the first half of that game, obviously not so much the second half. But if you're going to beat this Alabama team with the great skill talent they have, with the great offensive line that they have, you're going to have to be able to put up a lot of points. And I just don't think he's got the pieces on offense to do that yet.
Let me bounce around here because, Stuart, you've covered a lot of Mike Leach in your career, and that program after the big win opening weekend has been reeling. Just knowing him, watching him, give us a primer on what we should expect from him, not only this year, but in the future.
What you're seeing right now is maybe a little more extreme than I envisioned, but I thought they would have trouble because of the, you know, unusual situation this year with no spring practice and having to teach this offense primarily over Zoom. You know, I didn't necessarily think, and having to, you know, you inherited a roster that was not built to run the air raid offense. But then LSU happened, and it just gave this completely false impression, it turns out, that they were well ahead in their in his transition. If anything, it just exposed how bad LSU's defense is. So it's not unusual for Mike Leach's teams to be very up and down. We saw that certainly at Washington State. They would have these I remember them beating USC on a Friday night at home and the fans storming the field, and then a week or two later they got just destroyed against Cal on the road. That would happen. But even he said this three-game stretch since the LSU game, this is the worst his offense has been, I think, since he's been coaching. Kylan Hill not being available now, being suspended, not sure what the status is there. Certainly doesn't help either because he was really the only proven elite skill player that they had back.
Talking to Stuart Mandel from The Athletic. Stuart, let me get your big picture of college football. Obviously, we're seeing the Big Ten and the Pac-12 coming back over these next couple weekends. Just before we get to that, there's Clemson and Alabama. Who else that you have seen so far?
BYU, maybe? There's not a lot to love. I mean, exactly. There's some really good teams out there. I think Notre Dame has a great defense and a great running game, but kind of like what we were just talking about with Georgia, they don't have the ability to – they don't have receivers. They don't have the ability to stretch the field, and I don't think you can beat a Clemson or Alabama this year with a limited one-dimensional offense like that. The Big 12 has some good teams, and maybe Oklahoma. You know, I hate when people just assume the team they see the first few weeks is the team they'll see all season. You could certainly see Oklahoma get a lot better over the course of the season. But I'm eager for the Big 10 and the Pac-12 to come back because I'm eager to – because I don't really like the pool of candidates out there right now in terms of who can challenge Clemson and Alabama. I would love to see if maybe Ohio State is that team or somebody else that we're not necessarily expecting to, because it does seem like there's a big gap right now.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if you're like a lot of people trying to, and I know you do it, putting together a top five or 10 on Sunday morning, this week was one of the toughest I have ever seen because you really did not have any candidates. I mean, Georgia belonged there somewhere, but after that, it was tough. Let me get to the Big Ten. Let me get to the Pac-12 because you spent a lot more time following them than we do. Who is the best bet to come out of there?
You know, I would have said Oregon, but Oregon had a lot of very high-profile opt-outs. And they're also breaking in a new quarterback, obviously. Justin Herbert's not there anymore. My lean is to USC. They have a great quarterback coming back in Keaton Slovis, great receivers around him, a lot of experience on defense, so they had a lot of injuries last year. Now even USC fans would say, you're nuts, Stuart, what are you talking about? They still have Clay Helton as their coach. They have no faith in him, to which I would say Clay Helton's issue has been out of conference, them getting constantly embarrassed by Notre Dame, Ohio State, Alabama. Anytime they play one of those intersectional kind of games, they've actually done, with the exception of one season, done pretty well in the Pac-12 under Clay Helton, including winning the Pac-12 a few years ago. So they've only got to win 7 games, possibly, you know, in this one. It's a 7-game season, and so that's my pick.
Stuart, before you go, the topic that has dominated all walks of life, including college football, being COVID. We're in the middle of October, past the midpoint. This is usually when we do the first half reviews. How do you think it's gone so far?
I think that it's gone not ideal, but frankly, a lot better than I was guessing back in August. You know, we have had obviously outbreaks among teams. We've had coaches test positive. We've had lots and lots of games postponed, but at no point has anybody said, you know, this just isn't working. We're going to have to shut it down. A lot of people, and not just the people that cover the sport, but the people in the sport, would have told you in, I don't know, around the time the Big Ten canceled, maybe for a couple weeks after that, yeah, we're going to give it a try. But, you know, once the students come back to campus and there's outbreaks, and, you know, I don't know that we're going to make it through. But obviously, they've learned to live with it. It hasn't been ideal. I'm personally very uncomfortable with the idea that 31 Florida players have tested positive for COVID, even if none of them have any major issues with it. And Dan Mullen obviously has it as well. But there's been no indication that anybody's been that there have been serious health-related issues from it. It's just basically become a big logistical challenge that the teams have to deal with. And you saw the SEC move games around just like the NFL in order to accommodate this Florida situation. If they can keep that to a minimum, you know, they should be able to play the schedule in a different order, but the schedule, the games you were supposed to play eventually get played. I do think we're right up against it at this point in terms of we will eventually get to the point where you just run out of room to reschedule games. But I'd still rather have like an 80% or 90% season than what we feared at one point, which was a 0% season.
No doubt. Stuart Mandel from The Athletic. Great piece on the SEC. Thank you, Stuart. Come back soon. We always appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
You got it. Stuart Mandel from The Athletic. We are going to head to a break. We will head to Mississippi a little bit later on, find out what's happening in that state. Meanwhile, your phone calls continue right here after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And it's all about that man, Mac Jones. Look at those numbers. He almost can't do any better. He is shattering records. He's making people look deep into the record book of Alabama, and the quarterbacks there are endless. Mac Jones, keep it going. What a season so far. And back to the calls we go, and we appreciate all of you being here. And how about Betty up next? Good afternoon, Betty.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Hey there.
I'm a first-time caller. I'm from Alabama. Nah. I'm a huge Alabama fan.
Well, thank you. Great
and
to hear from you.
I have a question that I wanted to ask, and if it's not within your field of expertise, maybe you can give an opinion.
Okay.
Since it was the most anticipated game in college football, I was wondering why we Alabama fans have to wait 4 days before we could even see a replay of the game.
Well, I didn't realize that. When is the replay on? Do you know?
It will be on tomorrow. That's okay. 4 days after the game.
Yeah. Where is it on? Is it on this network?
Yes.
Well, I don't know this for a fact. My guess is this, because CBS had the game, there is some arrangement that they have exclusivity for X number of days, but I will see if I can check that out. Usually, if ESPN or the SEC show the game on Saturday, it will be on the next day or even that night. But I think with CBS, it's a little bit different. That's my only explanation, but I will double check on that, Betty.
I don't know this for a fact.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, and you
so
be
much.
Well.
And like I say, I'm a first-time caller. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Well, I hope you'll call again. Ethan is up next in Baton Rouge. Ethan, you are on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
I love the show.
Thank you.
Everything about it. I was going to call and ask you, so what do you think about the LSU defense? Is Derek Stingley going to is he gonna be playing this week? And also Miles Brennan. How do you think?
Yeah, I think the odds of Miles Brennan playing are losing velocity by the day. I think this is a critical game for LSU, and you're playing a hot team, a team that normally you should beat. And before the season, we wouldn't even stop or snicker at this game. But it's critical because we all know what LSU has remaining with several losses in the bank against middle level teams. I mean, Auburn's on the board, A&M, Alabama, Florida. So, I mean, a loss here would, I think, be crippling to the season. Haven't really made up my mind yet, but without Miles Brennan, it's going to definitely limit LSU.
Also, have you been keeping up to date? So do you think the Saints are going to be playing football in Death Valley?
The last I heard, the Saints are going to be playing in New Orleans this weekend.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. I don't think that went very far. Appreciate the call. Ray is up next. Hey, Ray, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
Ray, I am doing great. Thank you.
Paul, my question is, kind of answered it earlier, but what is that fourth team emerging? Do you see any fourth team emerging? No, we got Clemson and Alabama and supposedly Ohio State, but what is the fourth team?
Yeah, well, I'll try to narrow it. Here are the possibilities without having seen too much football. I mean, what I mean by that is the Big Ten and the Pac-12. I think Georgia is a contender for this reason. You know, should Georgia beat Alabama in a rematch, then I think they would have a chance, a very good, well, they'd have a great chance. They would be in, and Alabama probably would as well. Let's not completely rule Florida out. That was a devastating loss, but should Florida run the table and win the SEC, they will be in. They have some issues, though, from a health standpoint with the COVID problems. After that, Notre Dame, I'd give them an outside chance. They have Clemson in 3 weeks at home. They'll have to win the game. There's no getting around it. And then should Notre Dame win that game, then you create the possibility of both Clemson and Notre Dame getting in from the ACC. And then you have the Pac-12, which is a mystery. You heard Mandel a minute ago. Oregon been hurt badly by opt-outs. It's hard for me to have any faith in Southern Cal running the table. So I think it comes down to one of the teams that I've already mentioned, either Georgia, Notre Dame. I mean, is it possible Oklahoma State could run the table? Hard for me to put any faith in Mike Gundy, but that is another outlier.
Okay. What about your outside teams like your BYU?
Yeah, BYU is the
Army.
Yeah, BYU would be the best of the next group. I don't think their schedule is going to suffice. I think it's better. I mean, remember, BYU lost almost all of its games. But I think they would be an extreme long shot.
Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
I appreciate you and love your show, man.
Thank you very much. Remember, Utah last year was hanging around, and finally it imploded. Appreciate the kind comments. Let's keep going. And Michael is in Chattanooga. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Paul, I just wanted to follow up. I don't know, you probably won't remember. September the 9th, we had a conversation 2 weeks before SEC kicked off, and our point of contention was whether or not they should go forward. I said, no, shut it down. Caveat, biggest college football fan. I don't follow anything else. Daughter, second year law school at UGA. Didn't want her to go to school. Now you see it at Florida. Here's my question for you, and I'm still standing in my position. We may play through Halloween weekend, but I don't think there are going to be any games after that, and the other leagues are right behind us.
Michael, let me ask you, are you basing that on the virus intensifying?
Absolutely. My question is, let's look at Florida. If they have 19 positive players, and I don't know the answer to this question, Paul, but how long do they have to be quarantined, or a coach? Forget Nick Saban's false positive. Truly positive, how long are those players and coaches out of commission?
Yeah, it's a good question. I've heard as many as 40 or 50 Florida players could be in quarantine right now. And it depends. It depends on if you don't test positive, you can get out in a reasonable period of time, 10 days to 14 days.
3 days of non-positive tests.
Yeah, right. But if you're positive, you're in trouble. And I agree with you. I think the Florida situation is problematic for a couple of reasons. They have a game next week, but they're not practicing right now. I mean, that is as close to a shutdown as you can get. And when you don't play for a couple of weeks, it really creates some issues. You don't practice, I should say. So,
okay, Paul, Stuart Mandel just said that he felt the same way in August, that didn't think anything, and this is better. Even a partial season is better than no season at all, which I agree to, because, like I said, I've watched college games on tape delay or whatever that I would never watch before to get my college football fix. Do you still think it's the best thing going forward that this, I mean, is it going to take someone really getting sick?
Yeah, Michael, the one thing I don't know, the Florida has at least been transparent. You know what I would really like to see? I would like to see every school tell us start to finish how many positive cases. And I think in there, you get it's a little bit easier.
Hey, God bless all the coaches and players.
I'm not sick, I promise you.
Because the hundreds of thousands of us want to see football.
Well, hey, thank you for the call. And you know, I have been very praiseworthy of everyone in the industry to make this happen. The numbers at Florida are a little bit chilling, but you're right. I think what we're hoping for now, counting on, praying that nobody gets sick. If that happens, then we have a different conversation. But so far, college football has gotten away with it. And I, for one, am happy about it. I mean, I think we've had some great entertainment, and I'm not trying to make these players into anything other than what they are. Everyone has gone into this eyes wide open. Thank you for the call. We will continue with your phone calls right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back to the program, and so good to have you. It's been a really fun show, a little bit lighter than yesterday's complain fest. I found a better word for it, yes. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. And Jim is in Connecticut. Jim, thanks. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hey, Jim.
How you doing? Thanks for having me on your show, Paul.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. I have two questions for you, if you don't mind. Real quick, I'll hit them. The first one is Alabama. I'm not disputing the prolific passing game. I've never seen it in my life with Alabama. It's great. But I'm an old school. I think defense and running the ball wins football games. Down the road, when the weather gets a little nasty, and if they do run into Clemson, which is inevitable, I think they need to run the ball a little bit. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, well, Jim, when Alabama plays, I agree. It is more difficult in bad weather, but and I spend. Not this year, but over the last 4 or 5 years, I've spent every weekend in Connecticut. So I realize winter comes around the same time as Halloween. It's not the way it works down in the South where Alabama is. And when they end up playing Clemson, one game could be either in the Superdome or in the Rose Bowl, where the weather would be perfect, or the championship game would be in Miami. So I don't think the weather is going to impact those two.
Okay, Paul, how about, I didn't mean to interrupt you just then, but what if, you know, these teams are going, these defensive coordinators are not stupid. You know, it's a show me and I'll do it again game. they're going to scheme with five or six defensive backs to start the game with Alabama if they keep this up. You think that'll still work?
Yeah, I right now nothing has stopped Mac Jones. He's gone up against the best defense in the country in Georgia, and he's gone up against moderately decent defenses in other schools. I think he's seen the best defense he's going to see all year. Unless Jeff from Columbus tells me that Ohio State's is better than Georgia. Good afternoon.
What's going on, Paul?
Jeff, we were just talking to Mandel about the Big Ten. It's so Greenstein earlier. It's so great that the Big Ten decided to play football this year.
Yeah, it's finally game week, Paul. Let's go, baby. You fired up for Big Ten football?
I am. I couldn't be more excited.
Yeah, you should be. I mean, because you got to admit, there's been something missing these first few weeks. Hey, and that you were talking to that guy who was asking about, like, who's the next teams in line to get in the playoffs? Right there is the problem with college football in this playoff format with only four teams. Tell Paul you can only come up with three or four other schools.
Jeff, I will tell you this. Sunday morning, I had to send in a top four to SportsCenter in the middle of the night after the games were over. And yeah, I wasn't going to use Ohio State yet. I really wanted them to play first. I couldn't come up with a fourth school. I swear.
I agree. And I mean, this is why I think you've got to go to eight schools, even if you think the first round matchups won't be any good, just to spread the interest around. I mean, it's basically when you answered his question, I agree with what you said. Don't get me wrong, but basically what you're admitting is before the season starts, because let's say half the teams haven't even played yet, there's only six to eight teams you can even say are in the conversation before the ball's even kicked off the beginning of the year, and that's not good. That's not good.
I agree. And by the way, how many times have you heard Tim Brando come on this program and scream and holler about the system? Because, I mean, he's correctly said countless times, we already know who three of the four are going to be.
Yes, and I appreciate that Tim is one of the national voices that people across the country recognize that isn't afraid to speak up and not play the whatever, the company line or the college football playoff committee line. You know what I mean? I mean, Tim at least tries to speak the truth, and I appreciate him for that. Hey, Paul, the other thing that I think the one thing that would make me turn the channel faster than a Daryl from Columbus whining about the officials and Red Dog trying to be funny with his teeth humor, which was horrible, is this time of year talking about the Heisman, and like we just talked about, who's in and who's out. Why are these is it just because they're looking for something to talk about? I mean,
I agree with you. And every time I talk to somebody about the Heisman, I try to explain very quickly it's not a factor right now. Another thing I've pretty well quit doing is talk about anything other than the game this Saturday, because we really didn't know if we'd have any games. So, you know, whatever the game is on November, whatever, it doesn't matter to me. But you're right. I think it's part of college football. I just think we get it just for the reasons you've said, but it is somewhat superfluous. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, we don't even look at the ebb and flow of a season anymore. It's all about who's going to make the four teams, and it just drives me crazy. But, Paul, speaking of that, obviously since the Big Ten and my Buckeyes haven't been playing, I've been watching the SEC pretty closely, all right? And I want you to have an honest conversation with me and not play to your base like I know you can do.
Okay.
I mean, Alabama is damn good. We all know that. But they are a little suspect still against a good quarterback.
I agree.
Which Georgia didn't have. Okay? And Georgia's a good team with a great defense, but they got exposed by the pass. But other than Florida, I think the SEC looks really mediocre this year, top to bottom, once you get past the third team.
Yeah.
What do you think? Are you surprised that there's a lot of kind of there in the middle?
Well, I mean, if you're looking at it objectively, which we're trying to do here, after those three, who's next? Is it Texas A&M, which got really woodshedded by Alabama? Tennessee fans thought they were in that conversation until Saturday. And,
right.
You know, Kentucky is a really solid team, but they're already two down. So they're not part of that conversation. LSU clearly is not part of the conversation. So I've just eliminated the contenders. Auburn.
Right.
I'll try not to say that and laugh.
Right. I just think it's either mediocrity or it's a lot of decent teams that are going to beat up on each other, which I admit Danny Sheridan told us that before the season.
He did. And Jeff, I mean, listen, you take what you're served. There are a lot of very average games going on right now in the SEC.
Right. And I tell you what, this whole Big Ten with literally having no fans, I mean, it's hard to get the atmosphere when the SEC schools, you know, have how many.
Well, Jeff, I tell you what, the game I'm really going to miss, and I am going to get to this game eventually because I've told you this story. 2 years ago, I'm flying back from Connecticut on Sunday morning, and I changed planes in Philadelphia, and I get on a plane to Charlotte with, I mean, it's 95% Buckeyes. And, I sat next to a couple of those guys, and I heard from them. They said, listen, we've been everywhere. We've got every Ohio State game all over the country. We've never experienced anything like the whiteout in Happy Valley. And
right.
That's one of the great scenes in college football every 2 years. You'll admit to that.
Yeah, it really is. And they're going to play over there. I mean, they're saying they might reevaluate, but it's going to be really weird basically having coaches and players' families.
Well, it's not being – listen, they're not going to reevaluate it a week before – 3 days before the election.
You got a point there. All right, Paul, I just wanted to let you know I'm fired up because it's game week, and I hope you're going to be on the Buckeye bandwagon.
Jeff, I don't have my Buckeye – who you guys play this weekend? Purdue, Iowa? Who's on the schedule?
Nebraska.
Oh,
man.
I'm sorry.
Your voice got wrong. Hey, I'm going to send you a Buckeye necklace. I got to get you one of those because you need to wear that proudly.
I will. Hey, Jeff, I'm a Buckeye fan through and through this year. Thanks. I felt like we went through the whole offseason together. We are coming back. More to come. We are going to head to Mississippi in the final hour, find out what's going on there. Not a lot of good so far. And more of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back on Tuesday afternoon, almost Tuesday night, let's check out Charles in Fayetteville. Hello, Charles.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing, man?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Of course. Just listen to the Big Ten commentary, all those guys. I just want to say I think Alabama's a class of college football this year. They'll run through it. But, of course, as a Razorback fan, got a few questions for you. Obviously, Barry Odom has turned this program around. I mean, almost single-handedly. Really shocked and surprised we got him at the D coordinator. Do you think that he's going to stay there longer than a year, or are we just going to be out Barry Odom? And I wanted to ask you, how many W's do you think we could get this year? I'm looking at it, and I think we can get to 5-5. Would you say we might be able to pull that off?
Yeah, let me call the schedule up here, Charles. As far as Barry Odom, I'm trying to remember.
I've got it right here, Paul. We got by this week, we've got Texas A&M, Tennessee, both at home, or at Texas A&M, Tennessee and Fayetteville, at Florida, then LSU at home, at Missouri, and at Bama. So out of the Texas A&M, Tennessee, if we could pull one of those off, I'm going ahead and lose them.
Missouri. Arkansas has what? One loss, two losses.
Two losses, okay. With the Auburn fiasco.
Yeah, I think 5-5 is doable. It won't be easy, but I think it's entirely with the home games. I mean, I see two games that I think there are three losses. I think A&M will be very difficult. Florida, depending on their circumstances, and Alabama, but there's no reason why Tennessee can't be. You can beat Tennessee and LSU. There's no way of guessing that game.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. But I also wanted to ask you, how do you think we're trending? Because I'm a little confused. I just, without Barry Odom, I don't.
Yeah, I mean, Charles,
the turnaround.
The key to Barry Odom is how much longer he is being paid by Missouri. And I'll find out that answer. He may, Barry Odom may not need to go anywhere else. If he's got the money in the bank from Missouri, and right. he is enjoying himself, which undoubtedly he is. Just to go be a coordinator somewhere else will not interest him. And quite frankly, unless maybe Nick Saban calls him. And secondly,
so a couple of years, you think? I like it. Okay.
Yeah, and whether he's going to be a head coach or not, I really don't know. I don't think his prospects are great. When I mentioned Saban, I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying that that's the kind of job that's very difficult to turn down.
Right. I completely understand. Yep, definitely. Thanks for taking my call, Paul. Really appreciate
Thank
it, man.
You.
Long-time listener, never caller. Appreciate it, man.
You bet. Daryl is up next. Always must listen to right here.
Paul.
Yes, Daryl.
I do not understand why Georgia fans are so upset with losing to Alabama. I mean, realistically, when you looked at the schedule to start the season, didn't you go ahead and put that L next to Alabama?
I never thought that was going to be a win for Georgia, but I'm not a Georgia fan.
That's kind of like Tennessee and Auburn being upset because they lost to Georgia. I mean, we've owned them. I mean, Alabama's beat Georgia now for the last six times. You look at what Alabama's run under Saban, okay? For 12 years, they went 11-1 or 10 out of 12 years. They've either went 11-1 or 12-0. The other 2 years, they went 10-2. I mean, you're not – that right there is that's one of the greatest runs probably ever in college football. Never should Georgia fans be upset. They wanted to say the defense, okay? Well, the defense, that's keep Georgia in football games, and the offense is a work in progress. And then they turn around after the Alabama game, and they want to blame the offense. Why can't the offense keep up with Alabama and give the defense a pass? The defense gave up 400 yards passing, yet the Alabama running back run for over 150 yards. Anytime you give that up to a team like Alabama, you're not going to win. I don't care what your offense is, you're not going to win. I mean, Georgia was lucky to be in the game as good as they were in the first half. But if anybody should be upset at losing to Alabama, it's going to be one team, and that's LSU. That's because they had Saban, they let him walk. I mean, you can't.
Daryl, I hate to run. We are up against a break. Thanks for the call. We are heading to Mississippi. In the next segment, we will talk to Nick Suss. Always a great conversation. We hope you'll stick around.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.